Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We're each all powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 This Hoe, talking Tennessee football with Jesse Simonton from VaultQuest.com, who joins us now. Jesse, what a debacle the other day.
Mercy. I've seen some ugly football games. I've seen some ugly football games, but that was, I wrote it that night. I mean, the offense, it was pretty much like they had hand, foot, and mouth disease. Anything that was going to, anything they touched pretty much became a disaster and was just a sickness.
I mean, out of all of the amazing stats in that game, the one that really sticks out to me is that they didn't punt until midway through the third quarter, down 33-3. That's how bad it was.
Oh, man. I mean, I tweeted it at halftime, and the only thing they were missing from that first half drive chart, it was like it was a bingo game with the safety, turnover, fumble, interception. I mean, kneel down, downs. I mean, the only thing they were missing was a touchdown, which they did eventually get in a punt, so... It was rough. I mean, it was rough, and it was not – Saturday was a big missed opportunity for Tennessee. It really was. Dawn was there on the field 2 weeks ago. I think she kind of got a feeling around the program that others who have now been around Tennessee, that this rebuild certainly going to take longer, I think, than some people anticipated. But Saturday – I mean, Florida was a beatable team. I mean, you can't just take out those six turnovers, but if you take out the six turnovers – these two teams were fairly evenly matched. I mean, Tennessee did not get, quote-unquote, out-athleted on Saturday. Now, that's going to happen the next month when they play Georgia, Alabama, and Auburn. But that didn't happen on Saturday, aside really from the Freddie Swain play. So to lose like that because you just had so many self-inflicted wounds, they went full Yosemite Sam. I mean, they pointed the gun straight at their own foot, and they just, they blew off six toes. And when you do that, it's impossible to win. So it's hard to find the silver linings. I actually thought some defensive players actually played really well. There was a couple busts. I mean, that's going to happen, especially against, Florida has some really good playmakers, I think. I'm not a huge fan of Felipe Franks at quarterback, but I like some of their skill guys. And they made Tennessee pay, but mostly, I mean, Tennessee's defense was fine outside of the red zone, but the offense just, the self-destructiveness, it doomed Tennessee. And now, in a game that was definitely winnable, going in, I mean, now Tennessee's staring at the realistic possibility of bowl hopes. I think you can't even worry about that right now. It's, can they win a conference game? Likelihood this losing streak's going to go to 13 or 14. And then it's, can you, find a win against Missouri, Kentucky, both those teams, I think a lot of Tennessee fans, probably back in the summer had penciled in as wins, after a brutal October. You might be erasing that stuff because that's certainly not a given right now.
So on top of that performance on Saturday, then, also the Corte Sapp story comes out, which from the outside looks like an absolute disaster, with Pruitt saying, I asked him to leave the field because he refused to go in the ball game. Yeah. And then Sapp tweeting that wasn't the case. So where are we on this really bizarre story?
Yeah, it is bizarre, Dawn. I do think that there has, Sapp has not been particularly happy, I think, the last couple of weeks. He's been battling some injuries, but I do think that, he's been frustrated, and so I can't say that I was stunned that this happened. He has been, as Pruitt said, a model ambassador. I mean, Tennessee doesn't bring a ton of guys to the media, to talk to the media, and he's been one that's regularly come out and spoken to reporters, and that's normally a strong indicator about not only how the locker room feels, but how the staff kind of feel about these kids. But again, I mean, he's been frustrated. So for him to do that, and then for Jeremy to say that, and then for Sapp to kind of contradict his coach, it certainly seemed like we were heading towards kind of a blow up here. And yet this morning, I think Pruitt really tried to put the whole situation to bed. He wasn't really interested, in talking about specifics, but he said that both he and Corte spoke and met on Sunday. They're putting it behind them. Every kid makes a mistake. You know, he was kind of coy on any details. So right now, you know, I think that Tennessee is just trying to move forward and move past it. We'll see if something else kind of comes up it. But right now, I think they're focused on, you know, let's just put it to bed and move forward.
Jesse Simonton, FallQuest.com with us. Jesse, why is this such a big rebuild?
You know, I mean, I was someone that thought this team was going to win six games. I said it was going to be five or six. And now, you know, looking at, you know, I didn't know Kentucky. You know, some people were higher on Kentucky than I was this offseason. But they certainly clearly have the trenches there. I just think that, you know, the previous staff clearly had kind of, they cornered the market on four and five stars that just haven't panned out. And, you know, whether that's a combination of some recruiting rankings being off, development issues, or just kind of the continued churn of this roster. I mean, you know, Butch signed a lot of top classes, but so many of those guys each year just, they wouldn't be here within 2 years. You know, there was just so much attrition. Yeah. I think it's frankly caught up with this roster. So when you couple all that together, and now Pruitt and his guys are bringing in a new scheme, you know, and well, you guys have seen this now for the last several years. I mean, you're not going to win in this league if you don't have an offensive line. Tennessee, frankly, that's just been a unit that has struggled, whether it's with consistency, physicality, or just having, you know, quote-unquote dudes. That's a unit that struggled. And right now, you know what? I mean, it's not a surprise to me that Tennessee's offensive line is struggling the way it is when its best player, Trey Smith, has had a really rough start to his sophomore season. That's not to say I think Smith has all the potential in the world. I still think he's going to be a high NFL draft pick. But I think a lot of people thought that he was naturally just going to be as good as he was last year, even though he missed an entire offseason with his health issues. And he's clearly still kind of getting his feet underneath him. Sometimes his head seems to be on a swivel, you know, out at left tackle. I personally think that he probably would be best suited going to guard, but I just don't think that Tennessee feels like they have the personnel to move him out there. So when your best player on your most struggling unit is not performing to the standards that I think he expects, it's not a surprise that the rest of the unit's not going to be as good either.
Okay, Jesse, so we saw what happened with Florida. So Georgia, then Auburn, then Alabama, then South Carolina. How do you keep a group together knowing things could really, really get ugly, uglier even over the next few weeks? How does Pruitt keep this team together?
It's a fantastic question. And it's how do you keep this team together? How does a fan base that's kind of had their patience and loyalty tested over this last decade, how do they stay engaged? I mean, honestly, guys, I wrote about this yesterday kind of as the lead into my recruiting piece, or not recruiting, but my review and follow-up piece is just, it's going to, you know, this is why Jeremy's getting paid to kind of come here and turn this thing around, because it is the million-dollar problem that he's going to have of all these psychological scars kind of building up from the past. And now you're talking about, you know, three straight games that, you know, Tennessee's going to be underdogs by 30 some odd points this weekend. I would expect that to be close to 40 when Bama comes to town. You know, in a couple weeks, the Auburn line's going to be huge. There's no quick fix pill. You know, you can't just get a pill that has you forget all that stuff. Yeah. So how they kind of are able to kind of overcome this psychological hump, that's going to be this staff's biggest challenge, because the personnel and the, you know, the roster deficiencies, that's not going to go away yet. That's going to take recruiting cycles. But this is a team that hasn't figured out how to win and doesn't know how to win. Most of these guys that were on the field the last time Tennessee won an SEC game in 2016 against Missouri or Kentucky, they're gone. I mean, only a few guys on that roster. You know, it's Mike Abernathy, it's Drew Richmond, you know, Daryl Taylor. There's not very many guys that were on that team the last time this team won an SEC game. So how do you kind of break that habit of these guys getting used to losing, especially when, you know, again, it may not be the nadir yet, but it's coming, because the next 3 weeks are going to be brutal.
Good stuff, Jesse. Appreciate you, man.
It's always good to end with that. It's going to get worse, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is. We talked about that earlier. It's going to get much worse before it gets better.
Any silver linings? I mean, any silver linings to drop on us on the way out? Just some. The Gatorade was fresh, or the turf looked nice, or something.
Garantano's, feeling good. Yes. You know.
I do think Garantano, I mean, you know, Pruitt was hopeful about Garantano today. And I do think that, you know, this staff, while the game looked terrible on Saturday, and I think some of the play calling offensively was particularly concerning, I do think there should be some optimism with this defense. I was not confident that this defense would look – they are in the right spots more times than not, and that is not something you can say about a Tennessee defense the last couple seasons. They aren't having, you know, gargantuan busts where
nice.
a guy's running wide open down the field for 50 yards. So at least not yet. Right now I think Pruitt at least has his defensive guys in the right spot. We'll see how that looks, you know, in the coming weeks.
Tackling may be a little bit of an issue, but you know.
But that's Jesse. That's see. We want to end on a high note.
Slivers of silver lining, Don. Slivers of silver lining.
We want to end on a high note.
At Jesse R. E. Simonton on Twitter, VolQuest.com, the website. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.